Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. We are working on ourselves. In fact, we are choosing to heal. Seven ways to choose healing. And I am speaking from experience when I say that we constantly have the bombardment of Satan against us. And we have hurts. People hurt us. And we hurt ourselves. And we do hurtful things too that we feel guilty about. And so we almost have to always be going through a cycle of healing. We just get healed from one thing and we get sick with another thing in real life. And that's how it is with healing in of our emotions. Today, I am continuing in a section. It's the fourth section from this book by Stephen Arterburn called Seven Ways to Choose Healing. And we're talking about, you know, getting help, being humble enough to get help. It really, our pride is one of our biggest inhibitors for getting well or for staying emotionally healthy. So he says that he likes to use the goal of treatment with this acronym, RISE. Rise above your problems rather than being controlled by them. RISE is an acronym. It summarizes the benefits of treatment and it gives you direction on what you need to do. And I'm going to go over RISE today, RISE. So R stands for reduce the stress in your life by learning some new management skills. Reduce conflicts that cause inner turmoil and difficulties in your relationships. Reduce the negative patterns that have set in over your lifetime. And reduce the substances you use to help cope with the pain in your life. And if you're like I am, maybe my substance is food. You know, I like to eat, and then I will sometimes know I'm just emotionally eating. I have to watch that because in the long run, it has some horrible health impacts. I, increase your self-awareness and how you affect people who interact with you. Increase your awareness of your feelings. Increase your understanding of yourself and why you do the things you do. Increase your connection with others. Increase your assertiveness in a way that draws people to you rather than repels them. Increase the healthy influences in your life. Increase your time alone with God in Bible and in prayer. And then S stands for substitute positive emotions for negative ones. Substitute the willingness to risk for fear. Substitute humility for arrogance. Substitute acceptance for anger. Substitute peace for anxiety. Substitute surrender for control. And last but not least, E, eliminate addictive behaviors. Eliminate a critical and judgmental spirit. Eliminate certain repetitive sins in your life. You know, this is so good that I think tomorrow we'll just take some time to unpack each one or maybe go through them for the next few days because it's so easy to hear a list like this, but how do we apply it to our lives? Well, let's pray. Dear Lord, we do want healing. We want emotional healing. We want to be whole. And so we pray, Lord, we pray for your presence in our lives. We pray for healing across the nation. We pray for your soon return. And we just praise you, Lord, because you've given us a way to escape. And as we look forward to this program. We pray that our words will be your words. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So I was looking at things that had to do with fireworks. You know, you have fireworks at 4th of July. You have fireworks at New Year's. And what a cool thing. You know, kids maybe have just seen the ball drop and they've just seen fireworks. Why not have them do a fireworks painting? And so the inspiration for this particular craft ideas can be found in my Pinterest site at mrgamblin2 on the board, the TP roll board, you know, those tubes that you get from toilet paper and paper towels are such lovely, lovely things to save and use. So the fireworks one, you just simply have some paper plates with some paint in them, you know, like pink and blue and yellow, bright colors. And then you use black construction paper and you can have your children be as creative as they want. They could make a New York skylight or they can make a scenery depending on what you want to do. Or you can just have them do a design by taking the toilet paper rolls and cutting, feathering them around and then splaying that out into the paint and then painting on the paper. And the secret is not to overdo it. That really is. Fluorescent paint is really cool to do this with because then your pictures show up in the night. Well, have fun learning. In our curriculum corner today, we're going to continue with looking at the overarching program that we want for our children. And today I said we would talk a little bit about the mission. So when I talk about the mission, I think every family should develop a mission statement. And if you haven't done that already, that might be the first step that you need to do. So when you look at your mission statement, that help guides you. And it creates a foundation for everything that you do. So your visioning for your family, and I encourage couples to do this before they even have children, envision how you want your family to be. Do vision casting for your lives as a couple and as a family. And if that hasn't been done, you can still do it with what you want to accomplish with your children. You can sit down with them and say, let's make a mission statement. Let's make a really think of what we want to do. Do we want to learn well, be well educated, be good examples for others, be a blessing to others? All of these are good statements in your mission. Part of it is really with intention, looking at the culture of your family and how you are going to conduct yourself as a family throughout your whole family's existence. And I think that's crucial. Questions parents ask. Well, this question is about a mother who's asking for her 7-year-old boy and how he can control his tongue. He says mean things to his younger siblings. He is a leader in the family because he's the oldest son, so the other children look up to him, but he's so mean to his siblings. So what can that parent do? Well, first and foremost, I think every parent should look and say, am I controlling myself with this child who's being so mean? And really work at controlling your own actions, because that child has some deep-seated worries. At this point in life, they might not be insecurities, but they're worried. Maybe they feel like they've been usurped. In other words, does their mother still love them as much as she does the younger children or the babies? So that's the first thing you have to do. You have to start pouring into that child, feeding and nourishing his emotional tank, because if you have to withdraw from it, it's good that it's nice and full. And then the second thing you need to do is you can help him by doing some what we call behavior modification things, where a simple one is where you take an index card and you just fold it so they have about 8 sections on each side, and every half hour that he can go without saying something mean to his brothers, younger brothers and younger sisters, then he gets, you know, he gets to write a smiley face in it or check it off. And once both sides of that card are filled, then, you know, he gets some special, I like to reward children with special time with mom or dad, where they just get to spend special time together. And that it has a lot of benefits because it fills his emotional tank some more, and it also brings the relationship closer together. So that is how I would handle that. Well, we have to take a break right now, but when we come back, we're going to continue in our celebration as we look back at the history of Homeschool Companion. So we'll be right back. Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you. So be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783. Welcome back. I'm talking with Michael Gamblin, who is my executive producer, and myself. You know me very well, Rose. We are talking about some of the ways that God has led us with Homeschool Companion. We were looking at the history of where we came from, and I think we left off where the Adventist Media Center was taking us over, and we could continue, they said, if we would produce the shows ourselves. So that took us to a new level of figuring out equipment, and we had about a week to do it. We never stopped having shows going, but you see, they were going from live. Supposedly somebody at the Life Talk studio, when they were switching over, inadvertently erased all of our shows, and maybe all of some of the other shows too. So we didn't have the resource of what we had done for the 2 years. We had to pull together, and we had to come up with a show, and it had to be within days. We had 1 week.
Yeah, to begin with, it was a one-hour program live on air, okay? When they took it over, they said, okay, we can't do that now. You're going to have to go to a pre-recorded. So that's a whole nother set of, you know, things you have to learn. But plus they cut us down to a half hour program. So
yes. And so we were doing both. We didn't want to leave out those that were involved in traditional education. So 1 year after starting Homeschool Companion, we launched in 2009 Education Currents. And then that show was to air during drive time in the evening, and Homeschool Companion was to air during the daytime. And that worked out pretty well for a while. We would have you know, we had a more controversial subjects that we talked about. We definitely were still promoting the idea that if you could homeschool your child, that was the best. You know, that was the Edenic in Eden. That was the way they had God had set up the education of children, was to be educated by your parents. And so our look at education currents was a little with a critical eye. We were looking at issues in public school that would help cement maybe a family's decision to homeschool their children. But with that, we hit quite a bit of flack, and people were not happy when we would criticize something about public school. So we did, you know, modify our approach, and we looked more at what you should look at in your public school, because some parents do not have an option. They just can't homeschool their children, and some children don't do well with being homeschooled. And so we took that into consideration, and now we were looking at, you know, what's the best time to start your child in school, and what you should look at for a good school, and school choice, and private school, and if you had special needs, what you should be looking at for helping your child as much as possible. So as we went through that content, Michael Gamblin became an expert at catching our voices and making us sound as intelligent as possible. I would just like...
You are intelligent, but yes, there's a way you can record and modify the speech so it all sounds intelligent. The biggest one is...
Yeah, I wondered if you have an estimation on how many ums you have edited out of these shows.
Oh, there is no way... that I could count, because of the fact there are some people that use that as they form their next sentence. It just comes out of their mouth. So I have to literally cut out minutes out of a show before of just ums. And then sometimes you don't have any at all, just occasional here and there. So it is an interesting thing when you listen to a person's speech.
You know, I thought... I thought some people don't do but then they have pregnant pauses.
That's hilarious. We was doing an interview down in Nashville, Tennessee, and Dr. Richard Tooley was helping us with those interviews. And he is the one that has long thought patterns and quiet time as he talks. And so we had a guy that we were interviewing, and at this point I can't remember the gentleman's name. But he sat there, kicked off his shoes, propped his feet up, and I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm waiting for his pregnant pauses." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I'm waiting for it to be delivered."
Yeah, you know, I wish I had a list here of all the people that we have interviewed that really stand out. And we'll talk about them maybe.
We have got hundreds of people that we have interviewed over these, almost 14 years now?
Yeah, maybe we can talk about that tomorrow. But as we continue our journey, you know, Adventist Media Center, we did go out there and meet the people, but it was not a business model that was sustainable. They quickly found out that they could not afford to air our shows. They couldn't afford to air Life Talk. They couldn't afford to have Life Talk Network. So they decided that they were probably going to do away with it. And a lot of the conferences, the people came, and they came to the headquarters here in D.C., and they said, "Look, we can't do away with Life Talk. You have to find out a way to keep it, because we have so many people that listen to the programming on Life Talk, and they, you know, eventually come to our churches, you know, so you might not see the fruits of your labor, but we do." So the NAD took over Life Talk Radio, and we were able to continue on. You know, it's just an interesting to note that Life Talk Radio began in Yakima, Washington. by. He really isn't a blood uncle, but he was the brother to one of my uncles through marriage. So I grew up with him, named Paul Moore. He began Life Talk Radio. And the idea was that you just would have talk. You wouldn't have to pay for music. You would just have talk all day long. And so it was interesting. We interviewed him a while ago on the history. The history goes much further back for the network. Our show is just a little tiny segment of what they do. And our show is designed that any network doesn't have to be affiliated with any denomination. Our show is designed to spread the good news of Jesus, but in an education format. So that being said, we now had gone through a second corporate change, and we didn't know if the North American division would continue to air us. And that being said, tell us a little bit about the financial setup for our show, Homeschool Companion. Okay, maybe not.
Well, we are just what you would call a little mom and pop shop here. We have very few people working for us. We've incorporated, we've done different stuff just for the legal purposes of it and everything, but Dr. Gamblin takes and she does the interview. I'm the executive producer, and I do all the work on that, and we have some other people that help with us doing interviews. We pay for everything out of our own pocket.
And you know, that is why when I left the review, I thought I would make this a full-time job, and I really worked at it. I didn't know what I was doing again, and I want to close the show with the idea that God will call you to do things that you do not know what you're
doing.
That
is for sure.
We do not, we still to this day claim ignorance on so many levels. We don't know how to market the show or monetize it. We don't know how to really communicate with people who might want to become patrons. And that being said, I get great comfort from the Bible, because the Bible talks about all of these people who really felt inadequate. Like Moses said, I can't speak. And Isaiah is going, Lord, you want me to go around practically naked for 3 years? I mean, some version says he went around naked, but we know he just had on basically his undergarments. And Hosea, who was supposed to go out and marry a prostitute, you know, why, Lord? Why do you want me to do this? What kind of message? And you know, it really isn't for us to ask why. God has given us this opportunity, and through many hurdles, He kept providing the opportunity. So that should give all of us courage when sometimes we feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and in our feeble mind, we cannot figure out, Lord, why would you want me to do that? And we just have to trust that God is leading us every step of the way. If we just pray and move forward, He will direct our paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And with that, we have one last thing to say.
And that is, God bless. You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.